Today on Media Lawyer's Sandwich,
we talk about a photographer's first time.
And we're talking about Carl Marschner over here.
Oh, am I on PodBro now?
No!
But you can check out podbros.com to find out more about PodBros.
And the real PodBros. Welcome to Media Lawyer's Sandwich, episode 34. And with me is Mark Monster from
CrazyMark.com.
It's always All About William from
AllAboutWilliam.com.
I'm Toden from Toden.com and YouTube.com/ToadenK. And this is Media Lawyer's Sandwich, and we have a new face with us. This is Carl, actually. Carl's been commenting. If you're on YouTube, if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see his comments. And if you're on the Facebook group, Media Lawyer's Sandwich, may see him participating in conversations there. Carl, tell us, where do we find you? And also, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I have my Facebook photo page, which is just facebook.com/Carl Marschner photo. Mm-hmm. And I've done photography kind of casually for a good number of years now. And mm-hmm. I've been working at trying to make a little bit more than just something casual out of it. I'm trying to, you know, actually get more involved in events and more creative stuff where I can actually get a bigger audience.
Okay.
Now, and that's, it's not kind of my main career focus, but it's like a secondary thing for me. It's a creative outlet and also maybe a little something more than that.
Okay. Well, today we're going to let you ask some questions, and we're going to talk about a couple of your very few times out at events and get you a little exposure. Speaking of exposure, let's actually have you square up a little more to the camera. Left, there you go. Dude, perfect.
Look at him.
Hey. Look at that. Perfect.
No, hey, we can now say, welcome to the sandwich, dude.
Don't get caught up in the mayonnaise.
Uh-oh.
Good thing, because I hate mayonnaise.
So you've been doing, you know, you've been dabbling in photo for a while. You started with actual real film,
yes,
and you kind of started with digital not too long, a couple of years maybe, but you're still getting used to different cameras. And
actually,
stuff.
I had digital even before I started really working with the film, but it kind of revived itself at some point further on down the line. Now I've actually got the digital SLR and a few other digital cameras, but. Earlier, or actually I should say late last year, was when I finally decided to go ahead and give film a go again, because people are starting to do it more. It's got better availability than it was having for a while. So I was like, why not?
Okay, so, you know, last year you came up to me and said you wanted to get back in the game. And, you know, if you can't see the table, in the video version is always different than the audio version. If you're looking at the video version, you'll see today's theme on the table is we have a lot of playing cards, and, you know, we could toss the dice here.
Yes, do it deliberately. Yeah, right on. All right, we got snake cut. No, fives.
Got a pair of fives anyway.
Yeah.
Anyways, so getting into the game is the little theme on the table, gambling, getting into the game. And he told me that last year, and I brought him to one of the parties that I cover, one of the zombie parties. You know, I had an extra ticket. And that was your first time at an event. How did that go for you first? And then we could talk about how you acted and, you know, because it's a way that a lot of people act when they first
There's
go into an event.
There's things to learn about when you're first shooting an event, whether you're doing it with photography or videography. There's always going to be some things that you're going to have to watch out for, and it requires being mm-hmm. conscious of a lot that's going on around you.
Yes, now, and let's get into that. Let's get into the conscious of
about
what's going
my
on.
Camera that had started showing up in your video.
Right, and you were unaware of this.
I was unaware of her at first, but then once it was pointed out to me.
Once I got mad and I yes. figured out what it was.
By that point, I figured it out. Okay, turn that setting off. Yes, it helps.
What was that setting? Tell us about it.
It's the autofocus assist lamp is what it's called. Basically, if you're in a darker area, It shines a little bit of a light on the subject to help it focus better.
A very annoyingly blue light.
Yes.
That shows up on video without an issue.
So, folks, this is a bright LED, man. How bright is it, William?
It can be very, very bright. It's meant to actually illuminate a lot of things, this bluish color, so that the camera can better autofocus. And a lot of the higher-end flashes even have an infrared that you don't see very well, but cameras pick up
now,
really good.
This luminosity, could you see it about half a mile away?
No.
It's basically just enough to be annoying in somebody else's video.
It was one of those things where I was doing video and I kept seeing this blue light, and we're already in a low lit area. So I'm constantly looking around, where is this coming from? And I realized it was Carl taking his pictures. His camera was doing this. Now, Carl was like my second shooter that day. He was mostly just supplying supplemental pictures for the client, and also just to give him extra things to do, give him some practice, because I really did need photography for this one. But the thing is
Carl, it's one of those really things where
you are supposed to, you know, you're with me and we were hurting each other because of that. And normally when I have a photographer following me, now I usually, if I'm working with a photographer, William and I, we do this a lot. Yep. Mm-hmm. One of us usually goes first and the other person go. Or I could take video while the photographer is going, and then I'll have them do something when the photographer is done. And I do that a lot.
Yes.
I know you have a lot to say about that as
not
well.
Not a lot, just real quick. Something I learned early on when you go out to videotape or photograph an event, you know, of course your camera's going to have all sorts of funky lights on it, whatever. I learned way long ago, put some sort of tape to mask off those lights, dim them out, or get rid of them altogether, because there's nothing worse than being out in a crowd, lights are down, band is playing, and then, wow, you've got these bright red lights going on out there. It's a distraction.
Oh, yeah.
Gaff tape, the stuff that holds it all together.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I've been to concerts, like inside small panel concerts, little rooms where people are playing stuff, and it's dark for a reason, because they have projection screens or whatever going on, and then you got that photographer with the bright lights.
Bam!
That go off, everyone's dizzy and everything.
I'm blind!
I gotta get my pictures. And then you find out they're not even working for anybody. You know, things like that, it's being conscious around. And I understand you have to get your shots. That's why at a show, when I cover a show, if it's not for that particular person, if I'm, like, let's say I'm at Conclave, because this happened at Conclave with a couple different people. I'm there to cover Conclave. I'm not there to cover the one panel. I'm there to cover the whole thing. So I might go in a panel. I grab 20, 30 seconds worth of footage, and then I'm out. If I'm in anybody's way, I'm sorry. I got there. I got out. One guy, a gentleman who I've talked to several times since, I got in front of his camera because there's no way I could get around his camera. He set up his camera in a spot where he thought there was a way you could get around it, but it was blocked by the audience because there's an audience. It's a participation event. There's an audience. So there's no way for me to get where I need to go without going in front of his camera. He was upset. He was recording the entire thing. However, I needed my shot. Sorry, sir. Had to get it.
Hey, this message goes out to all you out there who just won the lottery and decided to buy the best gear ever, and you're showing up at the event just to show off, okay? Please have a little bit of courtesy and give everyone a break, okay?
Yes, and then you had that photographer. He wasn't just covering one song. He was there the entire time with that flash going off. And, you know, you have to be understandable. Sometimes, you know, we all learn this. I've walked in front of people. Sometimes I'm conscious of it. Sometimes I'm not. If I walk in front of you, I'm sorry. I was at another event, YumaCon. There was a ton of people with cell phones at a photo shoot. These people took their cell phones out and they would not move. I'm like, hey, look, I just need to get 20 seconds worth of footage. Well, I'm already here. I literally walked right in front of them, got my shots. I gotta get my shots too. Well, then you should have moved. I'm done.
Can I make a statement just an event goer? Now, I know I'm probably going to get some people who highly disagree with me about this.
But I know people disagree with me with what I just said.
when people spend the entire concert holding their phone up to record the whole thing, it's like, what are you really here for? Are you here to record the whole thing, or are you here to actually enjoy the band?
Some people enjoy doing that. I'm not one of them. When I go to a concert, I want to be at the concert. I want to be an audience member. Yeah, but right. Some people do legitimately enjoy recording the concert. And they're not there to do that. They're there to enjoy it.
There have been plenty of times when I've recorded bits and pieces of concerts or songs or whatever. And when I went to actually listen to them on the computer, they just turned out so awful. I was like, why did I waste my time on this?
Right. Exactly. I actually have a camera made to record concerts. So I grab like one song. But usually I'm like, oh, I'd rather be enjoying it. But I wanted that one song. And I actually do have cameras with microphones that are made to pick up concerts. I actually had a lead singer of a band. And this was a big concert. It was at the Fillmore in Detroit. And he goes, I know that camera. Don't record the whole thing. Thank you.
Small camera about this long that has a couple microphones on it.
Right, right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I remember that one.
Yeah, yep. It's what it's made for.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really, a little bit of the courtesy there. But once again, going back to the person always shooting the show, there's a guy, I don't know, well, let's take a look at the movie Walter Mitty. And he's searching all over the world for the photographer, and the photographer is sitting there waiting to shoot the rare spotted lion or leopard or whatever it was. And then it shows itself, and he decides not to take the photo. And he tells Walter Mitty, he says, hey, look, enjoy the moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, we got a new guest.
Hey there, what's going on here, Toten? Hey there, Carl, what's up?
Hey, who is this?
Hey, I'm Willie Weasel. Mark is just, he's taking a break right now, so I decided I'd step in and answer some questions, because I know everything and I play banjo like. Hey, and I heard your theme song, Media Litter Sandwich. Where's the food? Isn't there like a sandwich here? What's going on?
All right, Weasel, I got a question for you.
What?
You've been doing shows for a long time.
Yeah, a long time.
Okay, man. So your first time doing shows compared to now. Do you brag about being able to do the show? Like, you're there like, oh my God, I'm actually here. I'm having fun. This is my first time. And then you just keep talking about the set. Have you... You know, you've done that, right?
All the time, you know. It's like, it's bragging rights. You talk about it, and all the girls come over, and they give me kisses and hugs. And then that's it. I'm gone, and it's picking up chicks. It's all about picking up the girls.
Do you still do that?
Yes, I do. Mark don't like it one bit. Well, you know, we were over there with the Pod Bros interview. I, like, walked in and went, hee-hee, I'm Will of the Weasel. And I'm the star of the show. And Mark got mad and walked away.
Well, one thing I've noticed, and maybe because we're not rock stars. You're a rock star.
You're the
Weasel of rock stars.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
But we're often considered crew.
Crew? Like Motley Crue?
Well,
hey, William, are you
like
a Motley Crue? You look like Vince Neil, don't you? Yeah,
so
he does.
So when we're talking about, maybe not you being the rock star, but when, like, William, myself, Carl, when we talk about how happy we are to be recording an event and how we're glad we're not at our day jobs, even though I love my day job, but, you know, some other people might be griping and all that stuff.
No, those are stuck in the muds, man. Just kick him out of the door. Just, you know.
Exactly. You're talking to...
Give him some candy. I don't know. Something like that.
You're talking to the paying... attendance, people that pay to be there, who are there to have a good time, to you who got in for free, gripe. Oh, it's one of those things where you don't realize you're doing it.
If I get in for free.
You know, go ahead. Go ahead, Weasel.
If I get in for free, I'm not going to gripe. I'm going to go out and party it up with everyone and do all that other good stuff.
It's something that we don't realize we do. And I know sometimes even I do it, but hopefully, you know, most of the time, you know, when we have a gripe, even if it's nothing about the event, we still usually walk outside, try to get away from people because we do not want to ruin anyone else's fun time.
I told him, you just have to have some candy, you know. You get all grumpy, stop and have that giant breakfast over there at that Chef Delight place you like or whatever it's called.
Secret Recipes.
Secret Recipe, where you have like a 10-ton breakfast or whatever you called it. Carl, I got a question for you, Carl. Why are you so interested in covering Comic-Cons and stuff?
it's getting out and really actually getting a feel for everything that's going on.
I mean, like, you have, like, the cosplay girls, and this goes to you and to over here to All About William. Do these cosplay girls make you nervous?
Oh, sometimes, definitely.
Yeah, it definitely can. I mean, and especially if you don't want to appear like you're hitting on them and stuff like that.
Yes,
exactly. So politically correct.
You have to think that they probably see lecherous guys a million times during the course of a single convention. So.
Well, they're just like everybody else. I don't treat them any differently.
No,
and one of the things with me is I am a family-friendly video, and that's something that puts me to the side of a lot of the other videographers and photographers there, is that I don't concentrate on it. I don't want someone to show their, you know, play their video at their household and be like, and have their brother, husband, anyone around look like, oh, look at that girl.
What, you mean you've never been chased by some girl's brother or husband or something like that down the road?
Well, what happens is people play these videos and they assume that you are there for the girls. I am not. I am there for the event. My video is about the event. Yes, the good-looking women, guys, whatever, help promote the event.
I still want to see a girl dress up like Almighty Isis. Yes. That's what I want.
But that is not my focus, is to promote the event and not promote the things that other people are doing. So many people take pictures of them. So many people take video. I don't need to be doing that. And I found that I actually have less competition focusing on the event than I do focusing on the girls.
Is this weasel giving you trouble? No, Mark, I want to talk some more. No, it's your time to go. Oh, all right, I'll see y'all later.
No wind to hold them. No wind to fold them. No wind to walk away. And wind to run.
The cosplayers are but one small piece of the whole event. I mean, they're probably the one thing that most people think about when they think about comic cons. But yes, it's just one part. You have the panels. You have all the activities.
Well, what I find with a lot of the cosplayers, when you're taking video and photos, you find a cosplayer and you think you have a full house. You think you have an ace. You think you think you're all set with your full house.
I find a few of them. You gotta be careful because not have a full house.
And what you're really holding is a Joker, and your king is that vendor, because who is gonna share your stuff? And that's what I've discovered. Yep. Who is going to actually share your stuff and watch it? Yes, cosplayers love to see themselves. And some of them are, you know, well, I should say most of them are love getting, you know, they're there as a community. They're there to network. Yep. And they could be a lot of great people. But at the larger events, it's harder for them to find you because they're getting so many pictures and videos of themselves. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, I had one cosplayer at one of the larger events. Mm-hmm. Me and her kept texting back and forth, okay, I'm here, because we meet each other at a lot of different cons, and it's the larger events can get hard,
right? And you're all competing for stuff, and a lot of times the cosplayers will never even see themselves. Now, some of them, they see themselves and they're like, oh, this is awesome, and they share it out everywhere, and that's what we hope and that's what we want, and we're very grateful for when they do that.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, and I want to reiterate here real quick, and Willie the Weasel was about to say it, all cosplayers are special, especially the women. Whenever they're referred to or they're publicized, we like to stick with one name only, first name, or even a made-up name. I say all you cosplay girls, go with an alias, because, we love you showing up at the con. We love to have you at the contest. We love it even more when you have a fantastic costume that the judges, everyone loves. You win a prize, but still we're going to stick with an alias, maybe a first name. Behind the scenes, you can let us know more about yourself, but we're going to keep it more on an anonymity level in the public eye, because we don't want any weirdo stalking you.
Yeah, I've had one or two cosplayers, one male, one female, actually, stop cosplaying because they've gotten a weirdo. here. I've found a lot about them.
And we could actually do a whole episode on that.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We could do a whole episode of photographers at cosplay, you know, at cosplay events and women, you know, and women just
do's
wanting to
don'ts.
Get their portfolios taken professionally and then paying. And then sometimes, you know, that question, do I go to this photographer's private room for more photos? I say generally
and do it in public eye. Be around
friends. One reason why I love smaller events. Everybody knows everybody. Yes. You could literally just turn around to a couple of vendors, like, is this, you know, do you know about this guy? Is this guy, you know, is he respectful or are we good? And then if everyone says, I don't know who that guy is, go with your gut instinct. Just be like, yeah. You know, maybe that no is good. Or ask them for their business card. I know business cards seem very outdated, but they're not.
No. You can find out a lot about people from their business cards.
If they don't have a business card.
Oh, that brings up, Carl, do you have a business card yet?
No, I do not, actually.
Then we don't know where to find you.
No, we don't. Because you can tell me at a con who you are and everything else. I guarantee you by the time I leave, I'm going to forget who you are.
You know, I used to make a big effort. I used to have people sign in the book, all their information. I used to give them my business cards. And what I find out in the end, I will, you know, even after I find them, I comment and all this other stuff. Most of the time, they don't get back to me. So what I tell, and this works for me better now, if you don't have a card, you don't have anything, you take mine, and I will only look you up if you tweet me or comment. And I will look you up if you do that. That goes to everyone listening. You know, if you commented on YouTube or on our Facebook group, you know that I comment back. I try to do what I can. If you're commenting on another forum, like Podbean or Podbros, and I haven't seen you, basically because I don't always get updates. I don't know if anyone's ever commented on those yet, but if people are and I haven't seen you, let me know on YouTube or on our Facebook group, Media Layer Sandwich, and I will get back to you on there, or I will go check that out. And we all have Twitters.
Yep.
Yeah, Toten's good about that. So, William, you've got business cards, right?
Yes, I do.
Oh, he's got business cards. I make my business cards on cards, and Toten's got his business cards as well.
Absolutely. In fact, sometimes I have to have several different ones when I'm, you know, representing other companies. But I have my own.
Mr. Zombie Walk.
And I have developed a system so I don't accidentally hand out somebody else's business cards.
Which
I
my
have
nephew
done
did
that.
Before, too. My nephew still handed out the wrong business card. He had to stack my business cards, and then someone handed him one and accidentally handed that out. And I've done that, too.
I've done that, yeah.
You know, with me, my business cards go in one pocket.
Yep.
Everyone else's goes into another that designated pocket.
Carl, you're sitting at a table of pros. Do you have any questions for us?
What makes a good business card design?
Don't use a template from VistaPrint or anything like that, because it will be recognized right away.
Yes.
I've done that before.
I totally agree. When someone hands me a business card and I see a template, I don't go, oh, man, he used a template. Really? Where's the great? No, that's not what goes through my mind. No. What goes through my mind is the first time I've seen that template. That's what I think of. Oh, that's the same design as so-and-so. And every time I look at your card, I'm thinking of somebody else. That's me personally. And that's one reason why I would not go that way. Because that template design is always going to make me think of somebody else. And everyone knows templates on whether it be Vista or Moo or whatever site you're using, even if it's a template that you got from a website, hundreds, if not thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of other people used it. Oh. So there's a good chance other people
makes
seen
it less
that template.
Memorable when everybody's got cards that look the same.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got to be creative. And I want to give a great big note out here to all you web designers. Beware of using Canva as a crutch too much. Be original.
Is that a clip art site?
It's a pretty much it helps you build these quote unquote perfect websites.
Okay.
So it makes me uneasy. They keep saying, oh, yeah, Canva's a great place. But in all honesty, I give it about a year or two, and it's just going to be like canned tunes for something.
Websites,
you know,
are a whole other bag. Yeah. And I can't talk because all my
perfect
websites
in one
look
person's
very
opinion to be way different from somebody else's.
All my websites look very similar to each other, and I don't know if that's something to avoid, because I believe people are for the content, and mostly, you know, as long as you can easily navigate, I think it's okay. But if you're a graphic designer, you do need to stick out more.
Give it your own subtle design cues that'll help set it off from other stuff, even if it's just slightly different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another thing you might want to consider with a business card is taking one of your best photos and making that the card itself, and placing just a phone number or email address where they can find you on your website.
Okay. All right, so wrapping up this episode, we've talked about getting into the business. You know, when you first start off, it could be one of the best things or one of the worst things, and you don't know how to take it. Just relax and listen to those around you, follow their pace, or create your own. Whatever you do is just be conscious of others. And that's throughout your entire career. Be conscious of others, be conscious of them. You know, we talked about business cards. You know,
don't spend too much effort trying to take everything in, but be conscious of what's around you.
Yes,
exactly.
So you can find us at events. That's right, we have a bunch of events coming
up.
We were just, well, we're getting ready for Ypsilanticon. At the time of recording, we probably just came home when this came out.
It's like, hey, that was a great Ypsicon, man.
Oh, yeah.
William, man, you had lots of class, man. All those cosplay girls.
Hey, shout out for everyone we met at Ypsicon. You guys are amazing.
Hey, right on. St. Matthew's United Methodist Church out there at Ypsilanti. Right on.
We're getting ready for the con after that, and
Adrian Comic Con down in Adrian, Michigan at Siena Heights University over at Dominican Hall. Be there. It goes from 10 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening. Cosplay contest at 5 o'clock or immediately after Ring of Steel Action Theater. And at 1 o'clock that afternoon, it's your panel. If you want to get into podcasting, be there for Media Litter Sandwich and Pod Bros.
And that's at Siena Heights University, right?
Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan.
And about 2 weeks after that, we're going to be in Southfield, Michigan, April 28th, 29th, 30th. We're going to be at PinguaCon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hosting like 6 different panels. We are probably going to be on Sunday. So don't leave too early, because we'll probably be on Sunday. And we will have some very special guests, people that have been on the show before in the recorded format. We are going to have the blind film critic at our table at PinguaCon with a live audience.
That's going to be awesome.
It will be.
I'll tell you something here, Toad, real quick before you jump back over. Mm-hmm. A big shout out to my sponsor out there in Flint, Randy Zimmerman, Flint Comics. The week before that, on the 22nd of April, is Flint Comics Con over at Flint Farmers Market. It's going to be a wild, crazy extravaganza. Their costume contest is around 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Awesome event. But back to PinguaCon.
And right after to the 22nd, the 23rd, 24th, NAB is going on. The National Associate Broadcast Show is going on in Las Vegas. I will be around there. I will not be representing Media Layer Sandwich, but if you see me, absolutely feel free to grab me and talk to me.
Definitely. If you see any of us at any event, feel free to come up to us and talk to us.
And if you're curious what events we're at, we might not list everything. Like, I'm not listing NAB on my event page, but I do need to update it, and I will do that probably right after we're done recording here.
Yeah.
But you could always find Mark Monster at
crazymark.com.
You could find our guest Carl and his portfolio at
facebook.com/CarlMarshnerPhoto.
You can find everything. You can find all about William at
allaboutwilliam.com. And you can even see what events I'm going to at allaboutwilliam.com/events.
And I'm Scotty Toad in My Alley, of course, better known as Toden, at Toden.com, YouTube.com/ToadenK, and of course, my events are on the website. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed our conversation.
See ya.